I'm back. I've not been on the podcast in like 3 years. no, just like 4 episodes. So yes, my name is Farida, aka Fari For Real, and this is the What's Up In Lack podcast, and we are back, and it's a full house today.
It's a town hall.
It's really, really full. We have to, and I know that it has been very boring without me. Well, yes, the spice of the show is here. I'm sure my fans have missed me.
When you were not around, or when it is not around, everybody misses me. But then nobody actually confessed that they miss you.
Oh my so, God! No. I miss you.
I'm leaving.
No!
I'm going. Oh, you
don't
know
what you're saying.
I'm going.
I said I missed her.
Anyways, I'm going to be resigning for this podcast by tomorrow, but we have some more important business to do before then. So yes, let the rest of my, you know, calls introduce themselves.
Funny, I won't be a coach today. I'll be a commentator and a judge, obviously. And part of the town hall is not different for anything.
What are you feeling like?
Everything. So, this year to be
next person.
He's feeling like that.
Well, I didn't know introduction actually, but CTO to be your favorite guy. Scott, don't say favorite guy today, please.
Okay, so I still remain your favorite nigga, Josie Scott, aka Scott, aka Joe, aka whatever you want to call me. Fine.
Hi guys, your favorite girl Didi, and we are in the building again. We missed Fari the last time. It's true. I said it's the last episode. Listen to it. Right? You're not listening to our episode. Yeah, exactly. You're not listening to it.
Okay,
I don't think I made a comment. Scott is going through a lot. Like, see how he dyes his beard. So but then
what's going on? What's the idea behind the beard?
There's a particular song Lamy they said that people thought it was fashion, but Mudan, we see, you know that song.
I don't know.
Again, I reserve my comments. No comments.
Okay. Okay. Manaya is doing Scott, just leave him. It will be well with him.
Blink twice if you need help. So guys, let's leave the banter aside. But on to a very more interesting banter. It's election season. There's been campaign going on, all of that. Intentions being declared, manifestos being read. And we started to speak with people vying for positions in faculties and departments. And today, we are in law. Or we are speaking to the law guys today. So we're speaking to two people running for the position of president of the Faculty of Law. So I'm going to hand over to Naomi to introduce herself.
Okay, hi, my name is Naomi. I'm going to give my full name.
Yes.
Okay, I'm Naomi Awonisi, popularly known as Nay of Lagos, and I'm here today on the What's Up In A Lag podcast. So what's up in a lag?
Yay!
I love it. Actually, in case you don't know, she's an influencer. Okay. Yes, she is. I have to add, sorry. So yes, Dubim.
Hi everyone. My name is Chidubim Nzekwe, or Dubim, and I'm running for LSS president in UNILAG. What's up, UNILAG, Abby?
So yes, thank you for coming. I reached out to you guys, and you guys answered. Someone did not answer me, but like, no shades.
So we reached out to a lot of people, and they were saying they didn't want to speak on the podcast because they didn't want to say something wrong or something that would affect their position or their campaign. So these were the confident ones that were able to come out with their full chest and be like, we go run out, we go talk this thing, talk everything. So we're very glad to have them with us.
I mean, if you win, good luck to you. Like, you are running away from accountability, but we're always going to be here. Even if you do win, we're still going to be here to hold you accountable. Exactly. When you win, whoever wins, we did it the last time, last set, we spoke to all presidents and we held them responsible for like things that they did.
Yeah.
So that's why we're here.
Or you lose, we are coming back for you.
Coming back.
We'll ask you questions.
Okay, so this is totally unrelated, but I think I should just say this to my fans listening to me and to the general What's Up In The Lag fans listening to me. I know you only hear our voices, but then as you all know, I'm the pretty face on the, you know, on the podcast. So, but here I must admit, we have another pretty face, a guy, actually, a handsome guy here. So, no. I think they should just know that we have two handsome guys here today.
Yeah.
Not you saying you have a pretty face. Well, you do, but for today, you are not the pretty face on the podcast today. For today, anyway, let's move on to election season. And let me just ask, like, what prompted you into saying, yes, I'm ready for this? Like, I want to vie for the position of president. I want to be the president. Like, what made you think that you're ready for this?
Like, is this something you have been dreaming since you entered year one? You'd be like, I want to go. I would love to be the president of this faculty.
Dubem here. Well, it was something that came up in year two. Yeah, so, like...
Sorry.
Not story per se, but, like, I felt like instead of just complaining and complaining, why not, like, go there myself and, like, put my own ideas myself? Instead of just saying, oh, why is this person not doing this? Why is this person not doing that? So, yeah, basically.
Okay. I think my voice is distinct, but hi, Naomi. Why did I decide to vie for the post? Honestly and truly, like, if you had asked me 2 years ago, I probably told you, no, I'm not running for president. Not because of anything, but just because I didn't think to run for president. But having seen the way the system has operated for quite a number of years, honestly, it's not profiting anybody, and so far so good. I was like, you know what, I've worked with too many administrations, too many regimes to not involve myself in any way, shape or form. And I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do it, and here we are doing it. So yeah, I've seen both of you's manifestos, and what would you say has been the biggest challenge, like, throughout this journey? What's been the biggest challenge? Also, what's the biggest challenge that it is being a law student that you think that you're going to solve or you plan on solving?
Well, during my own, like, campaign or so, for the past couple of weeks, I was able to carry, like, a lot of surveys. So that was really challenging. If you check the bottom of my feet, there are a lot of calluses because I've been trekking down, up and down the old school to carry out surveys. So, yeah, based on, like, the surveys I carried out, the main issue that law students have has to do with the library. Yeah, yeah. The library and then attendance. So yeah, like, I put a couple of ideas in my manifesto based on, like, popular opinion, and I think, like, we can solve it. Yeah.
Okay, sorry, you asked two questions. The first one is
major challenge. Campaign.
Yeah, and then the second one is what the law students are going through. Okay, the major challenge for me. I'm a people person, so I don't mind walking up to people and talking to them and just getting to know where their heads are at. I think the challenge would be the hearsay conversations. Oh, she did this, or oh, she said this. But then when you put yourself out there, no matter what's good or bad, whatever you do, people will always talk. So that's one. For what it is that law students are going through, that I feel what is the biggest challenge is mental health. Because I'm very big on your mind is your powerhouse. And if the environment is good, the students will be able to thrive. And after seeing all of that, I was like, you know what, if we work on welfare, social and publicity for entrepreneurs and brands and business, but that's a whole different thing. If we work on primarily welfare and socials, we'll be able to do well for them. Thank you.
Okay, all right, a bit away from the politics of the thing, I'm not a law student and I don't think I'm totally, like, interested in our politics, but then I think I'm actually very particularly interested in who you were before now, what you've been doing, and how do you think what we were doing before would affect your ambition right now?
Who I was? Well, in school, I'm currently, like, administrative director of my chamber. Because in faculty level, we have chambers, we have associations. So in my chamber, like, I run all the administrative logistics and all. Yeah, and then like, I've held other positions in faculty. But outside school, basically, I have experience being a team leader where I work. So it's not as if leadership is going to be something new to me, or organizing is going to be something new to me. So yeah, basically.
So outside of school and in real life, in school, I'm involved with the social committee. We just commenced one of our events, which was the Law Ladies Day committee. Currently have one being planned, which is the Law Dinner. Away from the committees that I was a part of, I'm very focused on school right now. So I'm not
currently holding any post, but I previously held the post of treasurer for Ganifa Wayemi Chambers. Who am I outside of school? I'm an influencer, content creator. I work with brands and I help them to influence and get to a market via my social media platforms. Yeah, thank you.
The attendance issue, me, I want to speak. Please allow me to talk because I currently have attendance issues in 3 courses. They said I attended class only 5 times this semester in human rights. So I want to rant, basically. So, because I know that, you know, at least one person here is going to become the president. So I am pleading my case, please. So in human rights, we had a lot of online classes, like 7 to 10 online classes, and they never recorded any of them at all. So I even saw on Saturday, or there was a class we were supposed to have this for Salah, they marked me absent, and we're not supposed to be in school. So there are so many inconsistencies in this attendance system that needs to be addressed. Also, I see no reason why, you know, not coming to class should be a barrier in you writing exams. It is not like that in any other faculty. Yeah. I mean, does that affect you? It's only in law. They take this very, very seriously. If you don't have the attendance up to 65% in law, you're not going to write attendance. And that's, you're not going to write exams, and that's on period. I feel like it should change going forward. I don't know how, if the faculty is willing to be flexible on that issue. I don't know how it's going to work, but there is a problem and I need it to be solved. Basically, and this is not just story of Farida Afolabi, story of many law students outside. Like, when I went to submit my letter, there were so many people writing letters. There's so many issues with the attendance issue, and I hope that if any of you like gets in, you're able to, you know, work with it. So if you have anything to say concerning that.
Yeah, based on attendance, like based on the surveys I carried out, firstly, that issue of 65% is not going anywhere. They are not going. The dean is set on it that you must meet your 65%. If you don't meet it, you're in trouble. So instead, what I did is that I came up with a way where at least instead of having people in charge of attendance sifting through sheets and sheets of paper, we can just have like one general attendance register where people can just, okay, let's say, for instance, you have your class on the 17th and 19th and 21st. So all those lines will be printed like on that sheet, and then you can just sign. You just open register, look for your page, look for your matric number and sign. And then, so for online attendance, they're supposed to, the practice for them to take attendance from the Zoom chat itself. But a lot of people don't know. Lecturers don't like set their foot down and say, okay, take attendance. So what I plan to do is that they have to make sure that for every online class, they're also taking attendance for that class. That's all.
Okay. Do you want to go? Okay. So for the first point that Dubin mentioned, I actually agree. I think there should be a system in place for the attendance where you write down the dates and then maybe people can just tick or sign in between the box and then they can count how many times you're in class or present. I think that works fine. But also for online classes, I feel like there should be an attendance waiver for that because you can't control the system. For human rights, for example, because I did human rights this semester, I realized that there were so many times the lecturer will send a link, tell us to fill it. We'll fill the same link. She will come back again and say that faculty did not get it. And it's like, if you know you're not going to get it, how about we just remove the attendance for those classes? Because at the end of the day, how many people are really on that Zoom link? That's one. Number two, what can we do going forward to help the attendance issues? I think the way I said it, though, honestly and truly, yeah, it's a good plan, good idea.
So I want to talk about the online attendance thing for you people. So it seems that even the lecturers, sorry to say, I hope it's okay to say this, but like the lecturers don't seem accountable to that. Is that what you're trying to say? That they don't, they try to prepare attendance for students and like students should sign or get involved, but they don't allow. It doesn't actually get to the faculty for it to be recognized as an attendance. Okay. So, and you were saying something about them waving it off. Because you mentioned that you have a solution for that. So I wanted to ask that, do you have a plan to make the lecturers to be able to find a way, they themselves, not the students now, the lecturers to have accountability for that attendance issue,
to make that actually count.
Is it possible? Yeah, for the online space. But I think the physical space, they were able to bring solutions to that. But the online is still like issue. Is there a way, or is it possible?
Yeah, I think it's possible because some lecturers actually like mandate you that, okay, once you're here, you must drop your matric number in the Zoom chat. But the thing is that many of them, they don't they don't want to. Yeah, they don't check. They don't check. So what they just teach and then they go out. And then you can have somebody that attended, let's say you had 15 classes, somebody attended nine online classes, somebody attended 6 physical classes, and the person that attended 6 has more attendance than the person that attended 9 online classes. So, yeah, they need to start taking attendance from online classes, or else they will just waive the whole thing. And let's know that, okay, we're starting from ground zero.
I don't think it's an issue of accountability for the lecturers and then going back to the admin staff to help with the attendance. Because at the end of the day, the attendance is not going to the lecturer's office. It's going to the admin staff's office. Exactly. They're the ones that are in charge of the registration and everything. So what I'll say for them to do for as regards online classes is lecturer giving their mandate on this day, this class happened, and we'll follow up from there. As opposed to, see what Farida said. Farida said something about being present in certain classes and they told you that you were not present. In those situations, if we go with the idea that was proposed by Dubem, which is having people take where it is that they were there, when you're going later to the records office to check it out, you can see it there stipulated that you actually exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to move into something interesting. I was speaking with Naomi before we started, and she says you guys are actually friends, both of you, or you have a mutual friend, which is Kennedy, right? So what are the dynamics? Sorry, I'm calling you out. So what's it like running against your friend or someone you're very cool with? And, you know, how is it going to be like afterwards? How is it like right now? What are the dynamics?
Darren, the way I am, I've tried to keep my distance strictly professional. Like if you see me now, you know that Naomi is my friend, because I don't like getting like emotions involved in the election and all. So I try to keep it strictly professional. That's just how I am. Yeah. So basically, and there's no bad blood, there's no propaganda from here. Yeah. So it's just after the election, we'll continue from where we stopped. Basically, that's how it is for me.
Literally. How does it feel running against a friend? I don't think it's a thing of emotion. This was my first time running against a friend for a position. At Modo United Nations, I also contested for the position of President of General Assembly with a friend. She won, but I was a deputy, happily. But I think it's just beautiful to see healthy competition exist in today's world. Like, you can actually go for the same thing, and at the end of the day, the best man would win. And like you said, well, I don't know. Back to the basics.
Okay, sorry. I think that's 3 people in this race, right? Yeah, the third guy, Joshua. Yeah. What are you guys' relationship with him on a personal note? Your relationship with Joshua on a personal note, both of you?
I don't know. I have like mutual respect. I don't talk to Joshua normally. Yeah. He's
okay, who's born now?
Yeah, it's a large class. Yeah, but I don't just nod or fist bump or shake, and that's where it stops. I don't talk to him personally at all.
The same goes for me. We're not friends or best buds, but I love giving people their flowers and honoring them. So when I see him, I'm like, boss, okay, yeah. And I keep pushing. Yeah.
Okay, so I hear something. Well, I think one of the most difficult or distinct things about being in Los Angeles is our white and black. They call us, you know, choirs, choristers, tom-tom, zebra. I've heard a lot of things. Zebra crossing. I've heard a lot of things that are interesting, but I would say that Faculty of Law UNILAG is the most lenient in terms of regulatory dressing. I see people in other schools, LASU, you know, UI, OAU, they wear suits, like they suit up when they're going for classes, and you see people here in UNILAG wearing spaghetti, and law girls in UNILAG have the shortest skirts in the whole of UNILAG. We have really short skirts, and I'm a testament. I'm a living witness. I wear short skirts. I know.
But their skirts shall know them.
So, I don't know. What do you think about the regulatory dress code and, you know, our leniency or Faculty of Law UNILAG's leniency with it? I get that they may impose, like, stricter, I don't know, what they call it, rules. I don't think it ever works. They said that last time, but I never saw any enforcement. So what do you think about it generally? And do you think it should be stricter, you know, especially in preparation for law school?
I actually got a question concerning this during my presidential debate or so. And I still don't understand, like, the phrasing of the question, but like,
do you understand mine?
No, I understand yours perfectly. So what I think is that they are lenient, but I think we're taking their leniency a bit too far. Some of the things I've been seeing personally. So yeah, why does that? You still have to consider the heat. I cannot wear a suit and come to class in this heat. You know, Lagos is different from heating everywhere else. So yeah, I feel like yes, the leniency is there, but like I feel like students should be a bit more conservative in some of the things that they are doing so that we don't push them too far. Because where we are now, we're pushing them too far a bit. Yeah.
So for me, as regards the dressing policy, black and white, I've been hearing that it's not just restricted to the black and white, but also the color of the hair that we do. And I think that going forward, if we work on neutral colors, maybe not something too loud like pink or purple or green, or colors that can potentially, you know, throw off the lecturer. Yeah, good and fine. But in terms of, like Devim said, in terms of how we dress to class, I think the best that we can do, because people always express themselves through their hair and through their makeup and through their accessories, you can go crazy with that. But in terms of wearing your black and white, I think the best that we can do for them to keep the peace is just look good, look decent, look nice. Yeah.
I think I have a follow-up question. I ain't going to resist it if they ever bring a street law on that.
Would I ever
resist anything about that as a president?
Resist?
Yes.
I mean, if it's extra, like if it's too much, I would definitely have something to say, because at the end of the day, what I'm doing is being a voice of the people. I cannot, because of a position, just be a yes man. That's not why I'm running for president. I'm running for president so that we can have a voice. It's a student body, not a lecturer's body. So what would happen in that situation if the laws are too strict? We'd have to have a conversation, because I heard from a lecturer that you can actually have a stakeholders meeting with the lecturers and discuss why these laws do not benefit us in any way, shape or form. Because I think it would be inhumane for you to restrict people with what they have to wear Monday to Friday, then now restrict how they ought to live their lifestyle again Monday to. That could now be toxic. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree with like Naomi on this one, because at the end of the day, it's people that voted you there. So you have to like represent the will of the people. You can't go there and then allow them to dictate to you like how you're supposed to be. So yeah, basically she's like, I agree with her completely.
Let's step away from elections a little bit. What are your favorite law events?
It's between the LSS games and law dinner. Yeah, for me personally.
Can I cheat and have three? Okay. Abiola Ojo games, LSS games, like Bim said. We used to have Logos Talent or Love Fiesta. Absolutely love that event. And they love dinner, of course. Because you get to see everybody look. Yeah. So what was the craziest thing that been said about you on an Anonymous? What have they not said about me? They called me a stuck-up bitch. He paid me, he was in year one. This is 2023. This is 2023. You see, I don't get it. People will say anything. Someone called me a stuck-up bitch. It's still in my heart. It's still pretty with you. So what's the craziest thing someone has said about you in on an Anonymous? Generally, as a law student?
I think the first one would be that I'm a rude boy. I'm a rude boy. Or I'm stuck up, or I'm a snob, or I'm a fine boy with no sense, I think that's it. But I've heard all manner of things. I've heard all manner of things in this period.
What's the worst thing? I think till this election period, the worst thing I heard was that my voice was too loud. Yeah, apparently I used to make noise in class, which is crap. Which is not true. But I made a joke out of it, so I moved on quite easily from that. But this election period, I've heard that I'm not approachable and that I'm rude. And to be honest, what I have to say is, I feel like when you have an aura that exudes a level of self-awareness, people will always have something to say. Nonetheless, whether or not you are rude, because if you now go to the people to be like, oh, okay, what was the situation where I was rude, or what was the... Exactly.
Yeah.
I want to ask you guys to on Anonymous.
Oh man, can I say here? Boy. Someone said, because I have a group of friends, like hang out with. And someone was like, he wants to have a
threesome.
How did you get that? So, I didn't say that
as a threesome with you and who?
My friend, like my crew. Oh. He was just, he was.
Instead of the fact that you actually lack focus, we have to address that. Like, you guys don't have focus.
I was stunned.
How about you, Joseph?
Stunned, silly.
Ah, I'm on. The last time I heard something bad against me was, I think, when I was in year two. So that time I was known for this style. I usually cut. This half
crescent. He was crescent.
A bad boy, basically. He has changed. I still am a bad boy. Off the record, I still am a bad boy. So I was known for this hairstyle, this crescent style now. So on the anonymous, someone says, I can't really remember how the person put it, but he said that boy with the crescent shape on his head is arrogant and he feels himself too much, blah, blah, blah. But I just can't remember how. And I'm like, how am I arrogant? Though I used to feel myself sometimes, of course. But then that arrogance, I really can't pinpoint.
Give anything, Joseph is the least person that I can put on an arrogant list. So, like, not just to say that people say anything.
Yeah, people say anything.
People will say anything. How about you, Toby?
No, we don't do that here.
You don't do that in engineering?
Yeah.
Now they do anonymous. Bernard, you put on anonymous.
We don't do anonymous in my class. But the last time we did anonymous, they were focused on the girls, so. Wow. Of course.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it on the status.
You pick on me, I'll find your father. Don't worry. No, that one didn't even say much. What did he say? He said that I'm trying to force bad guy vibes, so I don't have it. So.
That you don't have it to you.
Yeah, I don't have bad guy vibes either. I'm trying to force it. Do I?
You
know. What do you think?
I feel like you are. First, if I see you on the road, like, okay. You just seem chill. Like, cool, actually, chill.
My roommate,
I don't have any.
They have a different opinion.
What do they think?
Scott knows what they think.
No comments. Again.
What do you think?
They actually thought you saw a bad guy, right?
In your mind, you are a bad guy. They don't gas him. Who gas blood?
Bad guy.
So, do babe Naomi?
Yeah.
Money or love?
It depends on the context.
Money or
as
love?
In money or love? There's no context.
Money or love? Speak.
Wait, are you in a relationship?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, of course.
I stop.
Serious or not serious?
Are you mad? Serious?
Yeah, relationship. So he will not
answer. Okay, for him to even say relationship, that means to say.
Yeah. So he won't answer that.
Please let us not scatter relationship, please.
God, right?
Money or love? Oh, sorry, I'm a lover girl. Love, but I have my own stack. He has his own stack. That would not be bad. But love, thank you.
I feel like everybody on this podcast knows my opinion on this.
Edo, what is love, please?
How many love? Are you loving?
There's no love in you, lag. There's no love in you, lag. We have a whole episode on this. There's no love in you, lag. There's no love in you, lag.
You cannot judge from your.
There's love in you, lag.
There's somebody that wants to
say something.
Okay. There's love in you, lag.
There are good, but there's love in uni, like, it's just that it's not outside. You find it in the BQ, you find it low key in a car, you don't find it. See, let's say you like boys at a park, I'm outside your hostel. Love that will walk up and down in the lag. You don't
have,
hold on, on us hostel, mosquito bite. I don't understand. I should walk. How is this going to work?
Sacrificing.
Exactly. You do exercise together. Burn calories. Exactly. But then, I'm actually worried about Didi. What happened to Didi? Didi used to be like
a
lover girl.
What happened?
All of a sudden.
That's true.
Money.
Money happened.
I've always been a money advocate. I mean, I don't believe in unconditional love.
You believe
in
unconditional
love? Only. I don't believe in unconditional love. Like, you love me for something, I love you for something. Do you understand? You're not my mom, and you're not my child.
This is not in lag, but
only my mom can love me unconditionally.
Vida, I hope this is not in lag, boy's doing.
They're not spoiling.
No, it has always been my, I don't know, on my journey of self-awareness, I realized that no, I didn't say that. I didn't mention.
And money is only thing I will save you in time for travel. Money is only thing you
need. I've realized that money is important.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a distinct opinion. Then it's also like in relationships, right now, Lagos relationships, there's always something. You like my bum bum. That's why you like me. That's why you want to date me. Okay, I like your money. Okay, so why is it different?
I mean, it is because.
Or you like my face.
There is a point of attraction.
Or you like my sense of humor. There's always something there. Mm. Do you understand?
Okay. So is your point that like the love is never unconditional?
Yeah.
Like there's always a condition tied to it. Would you say that is what you're exposed to?
Yeah. Probably. Maybe.
I feel like.
Yeah.
There's point of attraction and since.
There's love.
Maybe I need therapy.
There's love.
I feel like if the conditions are basic, there's actually love. I believe that there's actually love, and whatsoever you go through in life, there's actually love. I feel like when the conditions are basic and they can like they are long time conditions that you know that these things will be there, all things being equal. But I think it is normal because there's always a point of attraction. There's always something that will like move you close to something. If you're not even your parents are saying that it's unconditional love. Let's say mom realized today that you were actually changed at the hospital bed. The love will reduce. So it's I'm telling you, if your mom should realize that she's not actually your mom today.
Sorry, I'm going to go Bible just a little bit. There's a Bible verse that actually says like your mother would forget you at the suckling of her bosom, but like me, your God will never forgive. And I don't think it's a thing of your mother would not love you anymore if you are, because at the end of the day she has gotten so used to you and your company. No, exactly. When you're so, that's why you find that even people you are not related to that you love. You have attachment. You don't want to let go of that relationship. So I don't think that the love would ever change. It might be a little bit, but never that it would change.
So if you don't lose in a better context, it's the fact that your mom actually loves you because you are a daughter first. Mm-hmm. So it comes that way. There's still something that actually like attracts. There's a point of attraction.
Unless you're like a bad child already. You're already giving her reason not to love you.
I don't think that there's something that will make my mom love me, unlove me. She can like something can make her go whoa, like I didn't expect this from me, I'm disappointed, but she's going to draw me back. Like there's nothing that goes fundamentally make her say I hate this child.
To you, there has to be a point of attraction, Farida.
Yes.
Okay, so what?
There has to be a point of attraction. That's why everybody has what you call a spec.
You?
That's where the spec comes from. You cannot leave your spec and look for love outside your spec. Anything that you see, you collect.
So, I don't know. Is it okay to ask what's a spec or what does it mean by spec per se? What do you mean by spec? Like, what's your definition of spec or what does it entail?
You have something that.
Like, is it physical?
It can be physical. It can be anything. It can be your behavior. You just have something that attracts you to somebody. Yeah.
So that's my point. So now, say, okay, your spec is someone that is. How do I put this now? Someone that is thick, she now loses weight, for example. And I say, I'm not doing it again.
See, I think I can answer that question. don't say.
You know what I'm saying? There's always something attached. So what if that thing isn't there anymore?
That's what I'm asking.
I don't think it's ABC like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like, yes, the spec is important. Okay, you fall in love.
Yeah.
But then once you fall in love, the spec has done his job. Exactly. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, because like Dubim said, he said attraction. Like that's not the base. It's not the basis of it. It's just okay, what my eyes will see.
Literally, sorry.
But like I'm attracted to you, my eyes have seen you. It's like you want to buy a bag, you've seen the bag. Even though later it starts feeling, you shall got the bag and you're using it for what it's supposed to be used for. You continue with your property. It's not so even if you lose
become attached to it.
Eggs.
I can't drop it again.
Exactly. And when people ask you what's your most prized possession, you point at that thing.
Yeah. Well, I think I need to take lessons from these guys on love because my opinions on love are very thwarted. But the baby's my guy. Why are you therapy? I don't know. I feel like I've just not found the one that makes me go, oh my God, I'm in love.
I don't think it's a matter of the one. I just feel like there are certain times that you meet people who are not the one, but they are just like right for you.
There's one person. I think that you don't have one particular person. Like, person I think everyone, anyone can be the one. But I've not found the one I can make my the one. Not anyone. There are several soulmates. Like there's not just one person. There's not just one person. I don't believe in just one soulmate. Yeah. There are several people, not everyone definitely, but there are several people that you can be compatible with. You understand? But I've just, you know, not met that person I'm willing to like go half and half on. I don't know. You like boys that just meet.
Kiss the frogs.
So what? You actually supposed to be the one. Are you sure that you'll be open to receiving? Yeah. That's another point too. Because I'm not sure.
And different stages, because as human beings, we operate at phases. So what if in the phase of your life you're really occupied with something and that person is in your front and like, okay, excuse me, because you have other priorities. So it's a thing of that. You said something. You said there's no one true love. Romantically, I think there can be one the one, but like platonically, you can have like soulmates in so many people. People that you just have conversation, they complete your sentences. Can have your people. Yes, you can have soulmates in different people.
I don't know that you're
the one. People are changing my opinions. Well, I'm changing. There's actually someone that could potentially be the one, but he's very busy. He has a job. He has everything that I want, but like he has a 9-to-5 and he's always busy. And I'm a student. I'm a bloody university student. Do you understand? So we can't always get to see. And my love language is quality time. Yes, somehow. But right. I'm just from the beginning. I was like, I can't do LDR, long distance relationship. LDR, that's putting into context traffic.
There can be different expressions of.
True.
They can be different. Like you can literally be on Zoom, or in fact, on WhatsApp or FaceTime.
Yes, a physical touch person too.
Literally, that's the problem. Literally. So for me as well, I'm a physical touch person, and it can be a little. Excuse me, sir. Why are you not here? Do you get type of thing? It might not even be like we're doing anything. We're just holding my hand or just holding my legs when I'm feeling anxious or something. Those little things matter for me. But at the same time, with love, you always have to compromise, especially in situations where you cannot control. Like you said. No over compromise to the point where you set to.
Exactly.
Do you get? So it's like, in as much as you're like, okay, yes, my love language is quality time. How do you want to spend the quality time with me? Do I have to be physical with you or physically present with you? Or do I have to be like maybe on the phone with you and you're not doing anything? Just
I know. Remember you said he's a 9-to-5. So there are compromises that will come with that because of his job. because of your schedule and his schedule too. So there will need to be a meeting point where you'll be like, okay, yeah, you'll be able to understand his point of view and know that there are certain reasons why he cannot probably make it for the time you're available. Or even when you're not available, he'll be around. So there'll be a little bit of clashes here and there, but there'll be a meeting point where you can agree and stuff like that.
The person will make time.
And if he does, it's a very good thing. Yeah.
I think I'm just scared of making someone overcompromise on himself. So I'm just like, I'm not really, I'm just checking out. When something looks like it's getting too tough, I tend to like...
Drawback.
Like I find things that are easier for me. Like if something is easy. I don't like you, please, Toby.
I know.
You are ruining my therapy session.
Do you think it's a vulnerability issue?
Yes, I find it hard to be vulnerable. So yes.
We went from election to
and now I'm airing my issues to the entire ULAC populace. So yes, I find it hard to be vulnerable, but like that's something I would eventually have to work on. And we're running out of time, you know. We're running out of vulnerable time. So yeah, that's something that we're going to have to deal with much later. But yes, I want to say something before we go. I hope that irrespective of whatever the election results turn out, you guys have such fantastic ideas. I've looked at both of you's manifesto, and even in third person, I hope that irrespective of what it turns out, even if you don't win, I hope that you put it to use and you help the other person that isn't, you know, that has won rather, to put it to use for a better, you know, LSS for everyone, basically.
So somebody asked me, the person was like, Naomi, you're really putting your foot forward. I was like, yeah. I was like, so what happens if you don't win? Redirect my energy. I've been in the system for long. I've worked with administrations, the ones I like, the one I don't enjoy, and I still like was a part of it. So at the end of the day, they're just redirecting my energy, putting it into something else, but at the same time applying myself. Yeah.
If I don't win, I'm going to take a break from anything that has to do with faculty politics. So because since year two, I've been in faculty, yeah. So I'll take a break and focus on something else outside school, honestly.
That was FDI, so that's good. So any last comments from course?
I don't know, is this too late to pick a law firm?
It's too late. He wants to join law. Okay, it's too late. Too late. You are old. I hope you know you're old.
Yeah, no, I'm old. I have two kids already, so it's not easy.
I'm like, I enjoyed this way more than I thought I was going to. Like, I enjoyed talking. And
you're moving from your politics to around
you. Yeah. I didn't want this to be all just politics. Anyways, I think I had a really good time. And I hope that if we call in next time, you're going to come. You're going to be as available as you are now.
And to let them know that we're actually coming, and it's going to be like likely one of you that will be coming back after the whole thing. Yeah. You talk to faculty presidents.
And how far you've gone with your plans for the LSS?
Mentioned what you said that you're doing. Okay, so yeah.
Follow-up podcast.
Yeah.
We actually did a series on faculty president last semester, last session.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Was there, like, follow-up after?
We are meant to, but we are like working on this currently. They were already in office.
So yeah.
A few of them will be like a follow-up to know how far they've gone and if they actually like kept those promises.
So yeah, thank you guys for listening. I'm always available, irrespective of, you know, what anyone says. And I hope, yeah.
I'm meant to be unavailable. Why are you available? I said, I'm my name.
Like, me, unlike Davido, I'm available for you. And you can always hit me up on my Instagram at FarihForReal, all my social media platforms. Like every on TikTok. That's where my personality is most seen, on TikTok. I'm a trenches buddy, so yeah, you can always find me there.
You're a motekun.
Toby, why are you like this? This is bad PR. No, Toby, please.
Bad is
the Amoteku is based off of. It's not all the. I don't like you, but I need to leave now. They're antagonizing me on this. I need to go.
So
thank
what,
you.
What is your TikTok handle?
As Farih For Real.
Actually, I don't use TikTok.
Just go.
Toby doesn't like TikTok. He doesn't like TikTok babes. It's not like anything that has to do with TikTok. He just.
He's a dead guy. That's the answer. He's a dead guy. So yeah, thank you guys for listening. I'm going to be back on next episode. Don't worry. I'm going to be speaking to, you know, other people on next episode. Thank you. See you, and you know, good luck to Dubem and Naomi tomorrow. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Ciao.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
We don't say goodbye here.